Okay, I'm so glad I can't see any of you. Okay. So my story begins on Christmas Eve of 2001. I was in fifth grade, and my siblings and I had two older brothers, Dan and Tom, and my older sister, Mary, were standing at the Christmas tree with my dad and my mom. My mom is holding a plastic Royal Farms bag with something inside of it. And Royal Farms in my household was a really fun place for us because it usually meant we were either getting two 2-liter bottles of Pepsi Cola, which is my mom's side of the family's favorite staple drink, or we were getting a package of Tasty Cakes, which was also my mom's side of the family's favorite food. We weren't quite sure what was in this bag, but we knew it was going to be good because it was Christmas Eve, and Christmas Eve at my household was the best. And it was the best because it was an 8 or 9 hour event, a series of events every Christmas Eve where we would partake in a pretty tightly run schedule of traditions. And so Christmas Eve within my household was like the Super Bowl of McMenamin family traditions, and I looked forward to it every single year. And the run of show typically went like this. We would put up our tree around 3 p.m. in the afternoon that Christmas Eve, and much to the dismay of my mother, she still hates that we decorated on Christmas Eve. But we'd decorate the tree, we'd bring it into the house, we'd sweep up the needles, make dinner. We'd eat dinner together as a family, the six of us around the dinner table. And while there, we would talk about, you know, our excitement for the day and what Santa might bring. And even when my older siblings didn't believe anymore, they still held strong for me. And we'd partake in our usual banter. And then after dinner, we'd finish doing the dishes and then gather around the Christmas tree where we would start to decorate the tree while we watched the movie White Christmas. Oh, yeah. Okay, which we were only allowed to watch on Christmas Eve, no other days, though I'm so unsure why you would watch it any other time. The more I watch it, the less I'm thrilled by it, but I do love it. And we would decorate the tree, which was easily my favorite part of the evening because, to me, at that time, I was an incredibly introverted and shy child, and I was the youngest in my family, and I really took a lot of joy in the variety of Christmas ornaments that we had because, to me, they signified everything that the McMenamins were. They were great little pieces of our identity. We had these kind of strange porcelain snow babies that we would clip to the branches. I'm still not sure their significance, but we also had probably dozens of paper mache apples that we would hang all over the tree. We had weird, looking back now, slightly gendered ornaments for my brothers and my sister that said, like, Tommy, baseball, and Sheila, dancing on it. And we had these Wizard of Oz figurines, which were my favorite, and they had strings that were between their legs, and you'd pull them, and they would dance like this. And I loved these ornaments so much because they gave me a very strong piece of who I was. And back then, I was not only so shy, but actually, well, maybe this feels like a common theme, but I was so shy, but so desperate to be heard and to be up on a stage and to make people laugh. I just couldn't quite break out of that shell, which is hard to do when you have a really talkative, argumentative, and very smart family. And so after we would finish decorating the tree each Christmas Eve, we'd all go upstairs, get dressed to the nines, and then go to midnight mass at the Cathedral of Mary, our Queen. Okay. Cool. All right. Which was a very beautiful mass. I loved it. There was a brass section. And while at mass, we always sat up on the altar, which, if you didn't know, you can just ask, and they let you up there. And so we would always ask and sit up on the altar and partake and probably get home around like 2 a.m. by the end of the night. So Christmas Eve was a really huge deal for me. And so flashback, we're standing around the Christmas tree, December 2001, and my mom pulls something out of this Royal Farms bag. At first glance, it looks like a stack of six or so green pieces of paper. We're not quite sure yet. And she says to us in her most endearing, beautiful, chipper, and kind of morose voice, Well, what do you think? And she fans them out like a deck of cards. And we can see on the corner that each of our names, so Dan, Tom, Mary, Sheila, Jim, and Kim, are all written on the corners of them. She shakes her fists at us, gesturing us to pick a card, if you will. And I find the one with Sheila written in the corner. And it's written there in my mom's handwriting with a little heart next to it, and it says 2001. I begin to take in what I'm looking at. It's about 6 inches long. It's a paper cutout Christmas tree. And glued onto it is a newspaper cutout of an obituary of someone that I do not know. It's laminated. My mom was a teacher, so she had a lamination machine. And at the top of the Christmas tree, where one would presume a star would go, a hole had been punched and a string running through it, which meant we were only meant to hang these on the Christmas tree as ornaments. We look back up at my mom. I look over at my siblings to check in, and they all look about as horrified as I do. And my mom very excitedly says, well, give it a read. And so I bow my head and I begin to read what's in front of me. And the obituary I'm reading, it says, Margaret Maddock, age 51. And right next to it is a caption in bold that says, dimples, right and left. And as I begin to read about Margaret, I learn that she was a very shy, quiet, kind woman with dimples on her face, an African-American woman from Detroit, who had made her way to New York City to pursue one of her greatest passions, which was theater. The article kept emphasizing that despite how shy and quiet she was, she never stopped acting, and while she lived in New York City, she took part in many community productions, even while holding a job at General Telecom. Margaret had even written a one-woman show that she was yet to perform about the power of prophecy to turn a family's fate around. And as I finish reading this, I learned that we didn't get to read or see Margaret's play because she had been killed in the September 11th attacks just a few months before. I look back up. My siblings also felt about as confused as I did at this point, because here we are, and as I peek over their shoulders, I see different pictures of different people on their Christmas trees. And my mom, who was clearly a little bit excited, but definitely feeling very emotional at this point as well, said, "Well, now you know that I saved and read every single obituary from the New York Times." And we nodded because we did recall the large stack of newspapers that sat at her bedside table that she would sift through every single night. And she continued on and she said, "Well, as I read, I felt so moved, and I couldn't help but think of all these people who reminded me of my own children as I read it." You can laugh. And I, ever the youngest sibling, I looked back to my older siblings for some signal of approval or whatever our next step would be. And my mom takes her tree and she ties it, she takes her obituary and ties it to a branch on our Christmas tree. And so began a new McMenamin Christmas Eve tradition. So for when I was in fifth grade then, it's been 17 years we have been putting these obituaries on our Christmas tree every Christmas Eve. And while we do get a couple of looks of confusion when we have newcomers come to the house, once we explain it to them, it really is kind of nice. And I think what is the most neat about this tradition that we have is that my mom knew me quite well back then. Over the years, I have found myself resonating more and more with the life of Margaret Maddox. I too was once a very shy, introverted, very quiet, dimpled girl, who my mom very lovingly referred to as Shy Sheila and the Little Dutch Boy. And over the years, I managed to elbow my way onto the stage that I was so scared of, but so desperately wanted as well. Whether it was starting with playing the trumpet in the jazz band at Towson High School, taking my first acting class as a part of the English major in college, or today performing improv comedy, which has become one of my greatest joys. Over the years, as I continue to read her obituary, I recognize, hey, we do have quite a bit in common. And this Christmas Eve, like clockwork, my family and I will gather around the tree and begin to start decorating. And we'll put up the snow babies and the apples and the Wizard of Oz figures. And at some point, one of us will go to grab the stack of obituaries that's sitting in the corner of the ornament box. We'll pass them out to their respective people. And even though we might crack a few jokes at the absurdity of it, each of us will peel off for a couple minutes to take some quiet, do some reflecting, and learn a little bit more about someone who could no longer be with us. Thank you.